Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, this is Jason Horton, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, the chapter of Tau Kappa Epsilon.
Oh, no.
Yes. Guessed it.
What'd those boys do?
Well, they had a party last year in which they used different colored X marks on the hands of visitors, black for men, red for women, and the red marks allowed female guests access to different beverages, which were likely spiked with at least one date rape drug.
That doesn't even make sense. In other words, you have a red mark on your hand, so that means when you're reaching over the bar, they know that you. In other words, they can't tell that's a female hand. What is the red mark?
I think that the way I'm reading this story is that the girls were told, because you gals are special, you're going to have access to all these special drinks that men don't have access to.
Why do we have to have a mark on our hand? Can you not tell a man from a woman?
I'm really not clear on this. Also, there are fraternity boys who are idiots in the first place. Second of all, the criminal fraternity boys, allegedly.
They're the worst of all.
So it's like, I don't see a lot of brains. Also, if I were a woman and I went to a party and they said, we'd like to put a mark in your hand so that you get a special drink men don't get, I think that'd be a red flag for me. I'd be like, the red X on my hand, does that mark me in any way as a victim, potentially?
Yeah. No, thank you. All right. The reason why we're coming from the fraternity house tonight is because our topic is I got slipped a roofie, and it is brought forth by Jason Horton.
Jason Horton. And I am going to dispense with all the obvious Horton hears a who jokes. There will be no Horton hears a who jokes.
Oh, thank God.
There will be Sneetches jokes.
Oh.
But there will be no who jokes.
Well, anyway, I'm excited. Jason Horton, he's a great guy. He's got so much going on. You know, I could just go on and on about his social media presence.
Gosh, please do.
No, I don't want to do that. Instead, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
The man creates content.
That's really what
he does.
Really?
He's a content maker.
He's a content maker.
Yes. And so if you Google Jason Horton,
there are no folk songs
about it.
Content makers, by the way.
Oh, you think so?
There are no, yeah, I don't think Pete Seeger ever wrote anything about a content maker.
Oh, that's probably going to change.
But he probably should.
All right, so this is interesting.
He's dead now, but
I got slipped
a
roofie.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, you find this in context with like the date rape drug.
Yes.
Of course. Have
you ever been slipped a roofie?
No, I haven't. But that terrifies me. And then,
of course,
the whole Bill Cosby thing and
which you wrote an article about for.
I did write an article about that. It's so frightening that somebody could have, you know, give you a beverage and you not only you take one sip and then, you know, a tiny amount of liquid, just drops of liquid. And you are literally rendered incapacitated.
Yeah. And you know, I don't even drink because I'm just terrified of being out of control.
Yeah.
So if somebody else were to do that to me, once I woke up, I'd be really pissed.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, this the idea. I mean, it's the idea of any sort of physical aggression is like someone forcing their will upon you,
mm-hmm.
which is something. I want to say it's my pet peeve, as if other people love to have people force their will upon them. But it's like that drives me crazy. Like
right. People
going, oh, I'll drug you or I'll
hold
a gun on
you. But you don't like to be out of control in general. In other words, you don't like to get high or get drunk
or
anything.
Exactly.
Like you don't like to feel that you're not in control, let alone somebody else being in control of you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. See that? I got it nailed. I've known you for 18 years. I got this all figured out.
I'm surprisingly listening to what you're saying. Did you slip me a roofie before
of the date rape drugs I looked into. It's fascinating. There's so many different drugs. And by the way, what's so disturbing, I mean, about Bill Cosby, among a thousand other things,
yes,
is that how premeditated the whole thing is.
Well, his whole thing became, it's literally a boring sort of like a rut. Like he was doing it for 30 years.
Yeah,
he
kept doing it. It was not just a pattern. It was just like that was the way. It's like he brushed his teeth.
Like anybody, yeah, anybody can do something wrong and then be like, "Oh, what did I do?" But I was caught up in the moment, or I was overcome with lust, or I was drunk, or I was this, I was that. But it's like you're like, well, who am I going to drug and rape this week?
Yeah, in other words, there has to be like a new beverage has to appear. You know what I mean? He has to say, "Would you like this beverage?" Or sometimes he actually said to his victims, take these pills, you'll feel better."
But that's not what I'm thinking of.
It's so premeditated in terms of he has to get the drugs out of his pocket, put it in the beverage.
Forget about the pocket. Let's go back further. He's got to go to the store, or he's rich. He'd have people go to the store. He says, "I need you to get this kind of
Here's
vodka.
What he needed,
I need you to get these pills." It's like weeks. He's got all that stuff in storage.
Yeah, he could
have been
using,
cold medicine.
Like a Seconal. Seconal. Is that how you say it? Seconal?
Yes.
It's a barbiturate that depresses the central nervous system. It's for epilepsy patients. That's who that's for. They say that actress Judy Garland, she died from a Seconal overdose. Seconal?
Seconal
overdose. Another one would be called Soma. Have you heard of Soma?
No, I haven't heard about that.
That's another one that blocks pain sensations between the nerves in the brain, and it produces a slight euphoria. It's a muscle relaxer, another muscle relaxer. And then there's chloral hydrate. How about this one, Darvon?
Darvon. The only reason I know what Darvon is, it's mentioned prominently in Play It Again, Sam, by Woody Allen.
Okay,
He's
how about
like,
this?
Darvon and Sprite is fantastic. I don't know.
Darvon.
These are the kind of jokes that I remember from 40
Toradol,
years ago.
Toradol. That one. That is like a knockout drug for sex play. That's what that is. Mix it with alcohol. It's very, very dangerous. Has side effects.
Yeah.
Includes gastrointestinal bleeding.
Oh,
right?
You know, nothing gets me going like a little gastrointestinal bleeding.
And then there's Quaaludes, and there's GHB, and there's all these different.
See, can't they do what you used to do in Colorado when you were 19? Just snort some cocaine and have sex in a van.
What? Okay, first of all, how did we get from getting roofied to snorting cocaine? We're talking about people drugging you.
Yes, exactly.
And Jason Horton, he was drugged. So let's talk to him.
Yeah, I want to hear about this because he is a sexy, sexy man.
All right, listen, before Jason Horton comes on, I did want to remind you guys that if you'd like to support Storyworthy, boy, that would be great.
That would be great. And if you don't, we will roofie you and force you to give us money.
Here's what you can do. Head on over to Storyworthy Media because right there, that gives you all the information about the empire that is Storyworthy.
That's true. We are covering half of Los Angeles County is being controlled by Storyworthy Media.
Storyworthy Media, that's right. The best in story-driven content. And you can find my book, Big Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life, right there on that website. And you can also find out where we're performing live and head on over to see our game show, Shotgun Storyworthy.
Shotgun Storyworthy. And also, just tell your friends that you like this show. Just say, hey, put out Facebook. Go, hey, here's a show
Word
I like.
Of mouth.
Maybe you want to listen to
it,
too.
That's right. Follow us on Twitter, @Storyworthy, and of course on Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff. All right, you guys, wherever you are, stick around because Jason Horton is on his way. Next time on Storyworthy, we have director Bobcat Goldthwait.
And I will be talking about performing for the Gathering of the Juggalos.
That is next time on Storyworthy. Hey, Christine, tell everybody about our social media consulting business.
Well, Hannes, we have learned so much over the last 5 years doing Storyworthy about social media. And we've had so many guests on the show that have given us their tips and ideas.
Yeah.
And so now we are sharing our experience with others. We've started a new social media consulting business. And if you email us at info@storyworthypodcast.com, I'll be happy to fill you in on exactly what we're able to do for you.
Yeah, we can increase your social media footprint.
Exactly.
Footprint.
Exactly.
Footprint!
Again, email us over at info@storyworthypodcast.com and I'll be happy to email you a rate sheet.
This is Adam Carolla. You are listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. Left the fraternity house by UWM, and now we've decided to just come down, and we've driven about a mile to Lake Park, and we're overlooking Lake Michigan, and just coming down from our drug-filled sensation.
Did I ever tell you I dated this guy?
You dated a guy?
I dated this guy who was in this fraternity called SAE. SAE, Sigma Alpha Epsilon. I think those guys have been in some trouble.
They're all in trouble.
Anyway, joining
a fraternity is you saying, I have so little self-esteem that I must band together with other douchebags. Has there ever been a fraternity that's not filled with douchebags? Somebody tell me.
Well, to be fair, where I went to college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there was a fraternity. I'm trying to think of them right now, but they were the Stoner fraternity, and they were cool. Those guys were cool. I think that was, I can't remember.
That wasn't a Stoner fraternity. That was a bunch of guys who lived in the same house. And you
The
just...
point is, this guy that was an SAE, yes. He had a tattoo on his ass that said Phi Alpha. And I guess his whole pledge class got this tattoo. And it was like so wacky and so crazy. So stupid, right? Like as if I didn't know right there. If you get a tattoo with your fraternity on it, it's over. It's a deal breaker.
Well, on your ass?
On your ass. But at the time, of course, I was a kid. So
and by the way, they talk about the, you know, how about the homoerotica of the fact that all their stunts seem to revolve around like
ass play
or tying ropes to their balls and throwing it with a rock over it. It's like, it's all, why don't you guys just fuck each other and get it over with?
Well, honest, I mean, isn't that the whole thing? Like in the locker room, you guys like to whip each other with towels. Don't you do that too?
No.
You don't?
No. I don't. First of all, I don't go to the locker room if I possibly can.
I see.
I have a whole bit about how I hate the locker room.
I see.
And by the way, if you go to the locker room at the Bally's, used to be Bally's, now it's LA Fitness in Hollywood.
Yeah.
As a Chinese man.
A lot of Asians.
Yeah. He likes to shave with a towel around his neck. He's not wearing anything else. His balls are hanging in the sink. While he's shaving, it's like shave at home.
I used to go to that Bally's, and there were a lot of Asians who would come out of the shower, and they would be naked, like you said, always naked, and scooting around on like paper towels, so that their feet don't have to touch the floor. They don't have slippers.
Right, invest in some slippers.
Paper towels.
Didn't you people invent slippers? Wow, I'm going big racist. A lot of racism right here. I admit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Horton's here right now. I can't wait to talk to him.
He's
about,
not a racist.
About this. Jason Horton, you guys, he's a writer and an actor and a comedian and a sketch performer, and he's a YouTube sensation. You heard
he's
it
He's a YouTube sensation.
That didn't even exist 5 years ago. You know what I mean? And now we have a new title.
Wow, YouTube
Under
sensation.
His special skills, YouTube sensation. He
sensation,
creates content.
Parentheses,
Jason
YouTube.
Jason also has a podcast right here on the Sideshow Network called Friends Without Benefits. And you can find him at youtube.com/JasonHorton. And, of course, over at Twitter, Jason_Horton on Tumblr and Snapchat. And, you know, there's so many things. I can't go into it.
Assplay.com.
And he's here right now, you guys, wherever you are. Put your hands together for Jason Horton.
Assplay.gov. So I don't want them to go to the other Assplay. I want to say it was New Year's Eve 3 years ago. I'm from New York, like northern New Jersey, and then upstate New York about an hour around New York City. I can't remember the last time I spent – I've been living in California for years now. But I haven't done New Year's Eve in New York in a while, in New York City, and I'm not a big fan of going to Times Square. But a friend of mine who's also from New York that I met out here, his name's Dan Gallo, and you're going to find out what a hero he is to me. He's like, hey, my sister lives in Manhattan. Like, why don't we I extended my stay for Christmas with my family in New York and went to Manhattan. He's like, oh, there's a party, a loft party in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Williamsburg and Park Slope and all those areas are, you know, used to be very dangerous areas that I remember, but now they're really, really hip and cool and stuff. So I was like, sure, I want to do something different for New Year's Eve. Let me live it up. So we go to this loft party. It was cold and there was snow out, and I thought that was kind of cool. So we go to this party. And it's like really douchey. There's like DJs. And like scarves and like just everything that I hate about like stuff. But you know what? Like I voluntarily went, so I made the most of it. I had my first drink at 33. I'm going to start with that. And it was straight edge or whatever. But I knew how to drink. And I had one drink, one full drink, and then the beginning of another drink. And then it was probably about 11:20, where I'm just standing there and whatever, and I'm like, I feel really weird. But whatever, maybe I was just hungry or tired or jet lagged, which, you know, I don't know what it was. But then I felt myself like falling asleep on my feet. And then I would come in and out of consciousness, kind of, and I'd see people around. And then all of a sudden it's midnight because, you know, there's streamers and champagne's being poured on me. And I kissed somebody. I didn't know if it was a guy or a girl, but I was like in and out of consciousness. Like, it felt really weird. And then I kind of find my way down these stairs into this hallway. And I haven't thrown up in 15 years at this point. I've been sick, nauseous, never thrown up. And I'm standing there in this kind of hallway of this like kind of apartment thing for this loft, and I have my hand up, and I remember some guy was like, he's like, "You okay, dude?" I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm good." And then barf all over like people's mailboxes and stuff like that. And I haven't felt what vomit felt like in a very like I was a kid. Like it was like maybe it was more than because I was like 14 the last time that happened. So this is like more like 17, 18 years. Don't do the math. I'm old. And then my friend found me. He's like, "Where have you been? I've been looking for you." I was like, "I don't know what's wrong." And I think I was wearing like he had a pea coat that he had that I was wearing, which I hadn't thrown up on yet. And he's like, "All right, we're going to get you out of here." So we're kind of walking in Brooklyn and we're trying to find, you know, get the L train or whatever. And then eventually he's like, they're trying to figure it out. And then like I sit down up against the post. In the snow, and then they had to, like, I remember that. Again, I'm telling the story, and I'm in and out of consciousness. They pick me up again. We finally find the train, and then we're on the train. It's like, now it's like, you know, 1 something in the morning. It's packed. Everyone's got, like, Happy New Year stuff, and it's hot, and it's packed because everyone's traveling. And I remember my friend Dan going, "Don't throw up, dude. Don't throw up, dude." And then I'm just like, and I just threw up right in his jacket, but on me, like almost like very courteously. And so we're in this hot subway packed with people. Just they're having fun. Everyone's drunk. And I'm just standing there, the dude like who threw up on himself. Finally, he gets me back to his sister's place where I pass out for maybe about 4 hours. I wake up and I'm shaking. Like I'm sick and I'm shaking uncontrollably. And then I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I have to take the Metro North back to Newburgh or Poughkeepsie area where my family is. So I finally it was really close to Grand Central. So I walk there and I'm kind of huddled. I remember going to a Dunkin' Donuts trying to put food in my mouth. And I bought like a croissant and a donut. And I'm literally trying to put it in my mouth and I can't put it in my mouth. Like I'm trying to like – I looked – it was crazy. And I was like kind of debilitated. And then I remember to go – I bought a pass – for the train, and I can barely get my debit card out, and I keep dropping it and trying to put it in there. I finally get it, and then I get I'm on the train, and I'm sitting there, and I'm really emotional. You know, it's also New Year's Day, so like I think in general everyone's a little bit reflective or whatever. But I'm also like really sick, like really reflective, and I need to use the bathroom, and I'm purposely sat myself on the bathroom, and then I heard people in there having sex. I was positive. There's banging. And I remember trying to go in there. And then eventually the conductor went and was knocking on the door trying to get these people out. And he finally did. And it was 2 autistic people having sex. And I'm not telling you, like, this is not real. This is very, very real. And that made me emotional. Like, that I was just seeing this. And I was like, oh, my God, they're happy. It's New Year's Day. And they're like, whatever. And I start crying. Like, I have, like, a hood on. And I'm crying on the train. And then I eventually get back. And then, like, my mother picked me up. And I was just, like, a total mess. But I was, like, trying to hold it back. Because I never even cursed in front of my mother. And not that she's even strict. Because I have a bunch of sisters that are, like, wild. I just never – you know, she never seen me hungover. But I knew – I had 1 1/4 drinks, which is, like – almost nothing. And then I finally get back to my place and my mother's place. And then I fell asleep. I woke up. I was still a little bit sick. And then I just did some research. And then it was like the signs of being roofied, I guess. And my friend, Dan Gallo wasn't there to also bring me to the party, but also save me. I don't know what would happen, but I remember waking up and looking at my back and I had welts all over, like where my tramp stamp would be. Or is. I'm kidding. It's not there. Well, I have all these welts on my back, and I have no idea what they're from. They're like burned welts, and I'm like, I have no idea how they got there. But never happened again.
Wait a minute. Do you still have scars on your back?
No. They were just like these kind of like almost like burned like welts or something.
What year was this? What New Year's Eve? What?
2020. 12.
So not that long ago.
Not that long ago. No, it's pretty recent.
Did you call the bar?
It wasn't a bar. It was like a loft party, like a
but you didn't know anybody
at the
party except the person who brought you.
Well,
so.
If you want a little, if you're wondering who did I kiss, it was actually a girl that I knew that I invited to the party. I invited her and her friends because she's like, "What are you doing?" And she was actually from Brooklyn too. So I was like, "Come to this party." So it turns out I kissed her because I followed up with her.
Did Dan Gallo tell you that? Who told you that?
I asked her. I was like, "Hey, listen." I was like, "Whatever." She's like, "Yeah." Like she's like, "You kissed me at midnight." It was just like it was totally cool, but you were like way out of it. I was like, "Yeah."
So I wonder what happened with those girls. I mean, they just left the party. Did they give you any follow up?
Oh no, they left on their own. They were kind of like,
you know, like after a party, right? Mm-hmm. The next day you talk about it, like, "Oh my god, you remember?" And then I saw, and then, "Oh my god, did you see those guys?" Or whatever. And then you're like, and then I got drugged.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I remember about 2 of the hours that went by till I got back to my friend's sister's apartment. Hours would happen. I can recall maybe like 6 minutes.
That's terrifying.
It was absolutely terrifying. I've never been so terrified.
Because you really blacked out.
Yes, I was out on my feet.
And so you didn't hear that anybody else got roofied
at
the party?
No, it wasn't anyone. It was like a friend of a friend of a friend, and it was like a very like hipster, like open type thing.
It might have just been somebody's idea of a fun drug.
I don't know what it was, but it rendered me like.
This is why I don't go places and do things. By the way, you make fun of me for staying.
Oh no, I.
What was the beverage that you just picked up? This beverage.
I remember having one drink that I was poured.
What did you order? What did you get?
I think it was a vodka. A gin and tonic.
A gin and tonic. So that's a clear beverage.
Yes.
In a certain glass.
Yes.
So now you reach down for that glass with that.
Except, no, a different. I got another drink.
Okay.
But that this one, they were both in. They're all in solo cups.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So everything's in a red solo cup.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is
interesting.
By the way,
you didn't tell me that because I'm thinking, how did you mistake one from another?
It's like a house party, but it's a hipstery loft thing.
And so it's kind of open to the public, kind of not open to the public.
Right.
And everybody's drinking out of red solo cups, and it's a clear beverage, so you pick up the wrong one.
Yes.
Yes. And by the way, I just want to say, I deliberately left something out of the news story in Milwaukee we were talking about earlier, which just the whole thing fell apart because a guy drank from his girlfriend's a girl's glass and got the roofie, which is exactly
really?
It's like you just you picked up
so
the wrong glass.
What is the lesson?
But that's like
being
struck by lightning.
Yeah, what's the lesson, Jason?
I mean the lesson is that like anything could happen to anyone, even if you are not the demo. Like, I'm not a huge party guy, I'm not a huge drinker, I'm male. I don't know if that's like, you know, statistically, but like things can happen to you even if you don't fit the.
So should we all carry around like a black Sharpie and mark our solo cup? I mean,
I think it's just being aware of your surroundings in general, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a common thing. But I mean, I've been out to some pretty shady places nothing like that's ever happened.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Don't leave your house. Yeah. Just don't leave the house.
That's
don't
where the Wi-Fi is. That's where the Netflix is.
That's where the Netflix is.
Think that now I'm 50 years old that I don't go to parties that have red solo cups, but I do.
I'm trying to stay relevant.
Isn't it funny? After 40, you're thinking to myself, I'm never going to go to a party again where there are red solo cups and where the chips are in the bag they originally were bought in.
But you do.
Where we just have open bags instead of like plates. But you totally do.
Yeah, you totally do.
You never.
Like, I'm never going to drink cheap wine or cheap beer, man, because life's too short, man. And then you're out of wine and somebody opens Two Buck Chuck and guess what?
Yeah. Oh, you're doing. By the way, Jason, I want to say that I can see that there was something you said that made me realize that you and I have some similar outlooks, which is one of the things you listed that you hate about Williamsburg and Brooklyn is scarves. There you go. It's just very specific.
Too many scarves.
People wearing scarves, they don't need a scarf. It's not that cold.
I like scarves.
You're a girl.
Oh, I see.
Men wearing elaborate scarves for no good reason at all.
I think it's kind of cool. You don't think that's cool, Jason?
I'm not cool. I don't
you
know why.
You are cool.
Yeah.
You're very cool. Listen, you know how I know you're cool is because you tell us that. As a content provider and putting out all this content over and over again, reinforcing like who you are and what you're doing and putting yourself out there. That's saying you're relevant, which means you're cool.
All right.
See, and on Twitter, you can't get roofied.
No.
That's why it's safe. That's why it's safe.
No, but it's like in terms of in this business anymore, if you want to be, you know, there's two things going on, right? There's content that you provide, and then there's the business side of things.
Yes.
And so you are able to do both.
I have a background in marketing, and I'm a very self-aware person, and I started this a lot later than a lot of other people do. So my like business sense and like understanding how this works and how it can best benefit me was very, very clear very early on.
That's very fortunate. And then you also have talent. And so that's what I think is interesting about you.
I managed to keep – I mean, I haven't had like a real job since 2009, and I think
brilliant.
Because
– that's a success.
It's because I can do a bunch of different things. And I don't sit there and go, no, I'm a great actor. And if I don't get a great acting job, then I'll just wait till that happens.
No, you can't wait. You have to go out and take it and get it. And that's the only way you learn is to try and fail and try and fail and keep trying.
Like podcasting is another avenue to like talk about what I'm interested in, what I like, and – promote myself.
So what was your very first
and people, the sheer money that flows in from podcasting. We're all wearing gold chains right now.
What was your first memory of social media? Like, what's the first thing you remember?
I was an early adopter to email, I'd say.
Okay.
But more specifically, AOL chat rooms.
Sure. Now, this is like late 90s, right?
Yeah, this is late 90s. Oh, I was all up in that.
So you would invite people. I remember this because you would invite people to come into the certain place and time on the internet, right?
Yeah. This is a totally separate story, but I met a girl on a Morrissey. You know who Morrissey is?
No. Oh, wait, the band?
A singer, okay. I was in a Morrissey chat room, and I met this girl who was like an au pair, and she was here for like a couple of months, and we...
Is this a penthouse letter?
What country?
No,
like
it was very... Oh, but
country was she from?
She was from Denmark.
What's her first name?
There's like M's and J's and K's
just
in it. I honestly
Denmark.
Don't remember.
Yeah,
just
call her Miss Denmark.
Yeah.
And the O with the slash.
It was
through
a lot of that.
An umlaut.
Yeah. But she was an au pair.
So you hooked up with Miss Denmark.
I did, yeah.
And you were from the same city, obviously.
Well, she was like a couple of towns over. I mean, she was just here.
So what did you say to her in the chat room?
Oh, I don't. It was just a lot. You know what
Come
I mean?
Come on, like, this is your first social media memory.
I mean, I probably was just like, you like Moz? Because that's just like nickname. It's so bad now.
Right.
But I'm not that far from that person. Like, I really don't feel like I changed that much.
You know, that was like the first Tinder.
I'm a huge flirt, though. And I've been a huge flirt since I was young. So
really?
Whatever way I find the way to like – yeah, because like online dating for me was just like, I get it. Like, I've been training for this forever.
Yeah, really. How funny is that? Now, are you speaking to – like, you know how to put your profile out. You know how to play the game. Is that what you're saying?
I know. I'm just very realistic in how to – because people out there is like, I can't do it. I was like, yes, you can do it, but you just don't know how to do it. That's separate because I talk a lot about dating and in my comedy and both in advice.
Right.
Because I've been on so many of them. And
well, your YouTube channel, I find it so entertaining, you
thank
guys.
You
have to go over to YouTube.
You know, he's a YouTube sensation.
Jason
it's
Horton.
Very sensational.
No, but truly, these little videos, they're 2 minutes, 3 minutes, four minutes long. Some of them, look, there's a whole chapter.
There's
on
interactive ones where you pick what happens.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole one with awkward with women.
Yeah.
Then he'll do a thing with 7 minutes in heaven, phone sex girlfriends, seven ways women react to your penis.
Yeah.
And then he'll have, like you said, at the end of the video, you can say, do you want this to happen or do you want this to happen?
Uh-huh.
And then you click on both because you
more
you
clicks.
Up, you end up clicking on both because it's so much fun to do that. Because how could you click on one and not know what happens in the other? And so it's really clever and you definitely pull people in. I like the funny, awkward dating videos, right? The breakup, the
it's
morning
It's pulled
after.
Right from, like a lot of that is just pulled right from, you know what I mean? Like I always wanted to write a book on this stuff and I was like, well, let me just take these little pages and make them into videos.
Super hot pizza delivery. I love that
Based on a true story when I used to deliver pizza.
And you, how long did you deliver pizza?
On and off for 5 years.
And what kind of pizza?
Cheese and then sometimes
no,
pepperoni.
No. What kind? What was the store? What was the chain?
Oh, no. It was an independent.
I see.
Yeah.
In New York,
yeah.
Near Poughkeepsie, Newburgh.
Newburgh.
Is that a military base up there too, right?
There
some
is,
sort
yeah.
of. It's a
Stewart. Stewart Air Force. Yeah,
the
Stewart
Academy. Force. It's an academy.
Yes, I used to work at that hotel, West Point.
I stayed at that hotel near West Point because I used to be a flight attendant, and we would fly into Newburgh, and there was nothing to do.
Yeah.
That's how I remember that place.
That's that.
That's
Newburgh, Newburgh is the – I think it's still currently the top 10 per capita worst crime in the U.S.,
That is
number 9 or 10, yeah.
I wonder why that is. Meth?
I think it's just people – I mean, you know, think about New York City and, like, people leaving New York to, like, go to affordable places to live. It started with New Jersey and then, like, you know, Hoboken or whatever. And then it was just a little bit upstate New York and it's just a place where, you know what I mean? Like, people can bring
I don't know. Poverty?
Gangs and drugs. Well, that happens.
Poverty.
There's not enough jobs. There's drugs.
They can't afford to live closer to
a lot
the
of
city.
Minorities. My high school was, like, predominantly black or, you know, half –
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, okay. Let's look at the next question. I got a whole list here for you. so let me ask you this. What are some of the ups and downs to a viral video? Because I think people automatically think like, well, that's what you want. You want something to go viral. But in my head, I think like, maybe, but what if it's the wrong message, or what if you get nailed like that? That's it. That's your
That's what people don't know how to capitalize on that video that they didn't expect to go viral. If you're a business or something for whatever reason, and like Old Spice, and they had that's great because they're selling Old Spice.
What'd they do? What'd they do?
They had the Old Spice guy was like
a black guy with a voice like this.
Yeah,
and he was
like, "Do you want to see me like this?" Yeah, it was a very clever campaign. So that's great. But if you're somebody who like has a video that does well, then the next video is not like that. Like, oh, I'm here for this blank thing, and you can't replicate that, or like, oh, I do other things, you're kind of screwed, but it's always good to have it.
Yeah, in other words, like Hannes always says, there's three kinds of press. Good press, bad press, no press, mm-hmm. in that order. And so, because in other words, you can't necessarily foretell, you can't put a video out knowing it's going to go viral and knowing then what the next step would be. In other words, you can have a strategy and you can plan things out and when things are going to drop and how you're going to proceed in the future. But you don't really know how it's going to shake down, if it's going to go viral, if it's not going to go viral, and what else is going on in the news that day.
Right.
Because if it happens to be the day like today happens to be, you know, a landmark victory for our country and gay marriage. And so if you have something dropping today, it's not going to get attention because today we're giving the attention to the Supreme Court.
You have to be one of those people that are ready to like shoot on it like a minute's, you know, moment's notice, like in a news type. That's what people do that do like these videos that they are like literally just ready, like when this
wait for something to trend and then they jump on it.
Jump on it, edit, but they're a machine and they.
You're
they,
a machine. Yeah. You do this.
Yeah, but I don't plan, like unless it's like a movie that's coming out, I don't plan on like. You know, I don't do like a lot of topical stuff, but I do stuff that I feel like is relatable.
Uh-huh.
Like I have a couple of Facebook videos that have been on, both of them been on Huffington Post, MTV, College Humor, some, you know.
Oh, like, that's terrific.
Yeah, but I made those videos purposefully because I thought they'd get picked up by blogs.
And then you submitted it to Huffington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a blogger to the Huffington Post now, as it were?
Nope.
Because I'm just saying that's because I blog for the Huffington Post. Thank you very much.
Well, I should be hitting you up with my videos.
Hit me. Hey, dude, listen, I'm waiting for
humble
you to flirt
brag.
With me.
Yeah.
You haven't flirted with me at all.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Waiting.
It's butterfly because they're going to get stepped up.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying.
They're going to be caterpillar
feels.
But
my point is before I had a contact with the Huffington Post, before I sort of got in, I was submitting stuff for a long, long time and just the way that everybody does publicly. And nobody gave me anything until I kind of had an in. So how did your videos get picked up?
Well, I make like, you know, it was
well, you
like,
said you made them specifically to be on. So how did you tailor them to these websites?
I picked something that was very easy for me to shoot, edit, make, create. These Facebook and real life things, which you think, you know, people are like, Facebook is so out. I was like, my demographic is a little bit older, so it's not out. Parents and parents and parents are using it. So it's just like, what would a actual conversation be with somebody if you did it as like you did your statuses, like for example, vague statuses when it's like, well, I can't believe that happened. And then people are like, hey, what happened? And then you don't respond.
It is so funny. I watched that video, Jason. It's hilarious. These people, this is like a girl and a guy on a date and they're just making comments, but then they're just stopping.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
like your grandmother died, you know, like, you know.
Sad today. Oh,
sad today.
Yeah. yeah.
But and then their voices just stop.
It stopped. And that's what that would be.
Or the passive aggressive thing where it's like, well, some people need to learn to not be so fucking nosy.
Yep.
But I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
But you're saying it to everybody.
Right.
right.
You're telling people, yeah, it's like, I barely know who you are because you're a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. And now you're complaining about somebody.
It's an inside thing.
So, Jason, do you get a lot of laughs? Like, I get so many laughs on Facebook. I mean, in terms of I'm laughing at people's stupid ass posts.
I study all these sites. Like, I want to know I need to know what makes them tick psychologically.
Okay, good. So let me ask you that. So what makes you stop on a page?
For me, sometimes I keep people on there that actually make me mad, and I'll like unfollow people that I'm like, you don't offend me, but I just don't need to see your stuff. But there's some people that like, it's like fodder for me to like, it's like hate watching,
which
is very sad.
I did that for a long time with like Sarah Palin. I followed her on Twitter for a long time because it's just fun to watch the craziness. And there's this other girl I know, and she always writes things like, you should put up a picture of a kitten and it'll be like, you know, hey, Monday, let's do this, you know, and those, you know.
But what I do on my Facebook
page
is it's Olivia Mondays. and it's a picture of Olivia Munn. And I do it every single Monday, and people love it.
Adorable.
Yeah. No, it's
adorable.
A hot picture. I mean, it's a hot picture
She's
of Olivia Munn.
She's hot. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Isn't she the woman who stole Aaron Rodgers from me? Isn't she dating Aaron Rodgers?
Is that right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jason, you didn't have
I
your
love
first
Aaron
drink until
so
you.
Much.
You didn't have your first drink until you were 33.
That's correct.
It's interesting, especially where you grew up, because I grew up in Pittsburgh and I know those suburbs, and I know there's nothing to do, man, but sit around and drink.
Yeah, but
with
I
your
did
friends.
Other stuff.
So what were you doing?
Shoplifting, fighting, and at what age appropriate time, like trying to touch girls' boobies and stuff.
Yeah,
I was gonna say when did you?
What was that appropriate time? What was that?
For me, I was 16.
16.
Yeah,
that seems appropriate.
She
the
was
girl
48.
Was 28. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
But you know, I started looking at like porn at a young age.
So,
you know,
brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You have four older sisters.
Right? No, I am the oldest.
You're the oldest, and you have four young.
I have a brother and four sisters.
Right. See, because I have four sisters and a brother. We've been through
this together.
Because I did your show.
You're on the.
It's just surprising to me then that you didn't drink. Maybe because you're the oldest. Maybe that was it.
I think I was caught up. I was really involved in the hardcore scene, the punk scene, and I was straight edge.
I see.
And like, I have a very like, I'm just really good with like willpower, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And discipline.
Yeah, but then there was a point where I was like, why am I not? I had no answer. And I was in LA and I was just like, no, I can't.
Did you make videos when you were a kid? Like, did you have a little camera running around, you know, with a Super 8 or something?
I was more into like music. Like, I wanted to be Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like that kind of thing.
Well,
but
that's the New Jersey.
That's even funnier that you didn't drink because you wanted to be Billy Joel.
I know, yeah.
You can't stop drinking.
Yeah, I loved the idea of like performing and being in front of people. So like that was early on.
And so did you do stand up or when did you?
Never
you
done
never
stand-up.
Did stand up. No. So that's interesting.
Yeah, people just assume. I've written some stand up for people. I like to do like live sketch and improv, and I like to do stuff with people.
Because I called you a comedian, you're not a comedian. I just scratched that right off the list. Is what
well,
I did.
Well, I mean that's your narrow
this whole
view.
Thing is invalidated.
No, but I mean I watched you all these YouTube videos, man. I mean you're so funny. Your
Thank
timing
you.
Is excellent. I'm surprised.
He's a comedic actor.
Have you gone up on stage at all in L.A.? I mean, because now there's all these venues to do storytelling and like.
Well, I've done live improv and sketch and some storytelling for 10 plus years. So
yeah.
I've been on stage.
You're
for
on 10 stage. It's just not.
That's where I've learned how to act and learned how to do videos essentially. Because I've tested videos on stage before I filmed them sometimes.
Interesting. Are you a UCB mm-hmm. guy or Groundlings guy or what?
I did UCB for 4 years. And
oh, wow. That's a good amount of
time. I.O. for like 8 years.
Yeah. And I work at I.O.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Hey, mm-hmm. this is great. And so what's the future? I mean, like, because now you've carved out this niche for yourself. Mm-hmm. What if a network approached you? Would you say, like, what are you guys talking about? You're like dinosaurs. You're so antiquated.
Not at all. No,
you respect.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have traditional pilots and web series that I sold, which is not necessarily traditional, but I have, general meetings with networks and agencies and writing films. I love the traditional stuff, but I leverage my I leverage what I do and I can show my work to help me other than being like, I have a really good idea. I can show like I've done things with success and have an audience. So we won't start at zero if we're working with me.
Well, and it's so interesting how many reality shows now are going to YouTube stars and people that have a big social media presence because they're realizing, wait a minute, if I put this guy on my show, then he gets a million people behind him. You know, he's got these people behind him, and so it just builds upon itself.
Puts quality second or third or fourth.
So what is? Do you have any recommendations to people who are just starting? Because when you look at social media, and you know, and I, listen to me, and I consult social media. No, but I do social media mm-hmm. for some people, and I – when I have a meeting with them and I have like a consultation and they look at me and they're just looking at me like, what are you talking about? Like, it really is overwhelming. There's
well, because
so many outlets.
Think about what
There's
we
so
do every day.
Do.
It's overwhelming to upkeep it. So it's never going to not be overwhelming.
Okay.
You know? So I think that's the first thing. And the thing is that why are they doing it? If you know, people are like, I want to do YouTube. I want to be rich. And I'm like, forget it. Go away. Go get a job because you're not going to be rich.
Right.
It's knowing your voice, knowing what you want to do and be willing to do it consistently, whether it's on doing social media or making videos or whatever that is, because I think people really favor your voice and you having something to say specifically and people just are following that personality. Same with reality TV, same with anything. They and on YouTube now, it's like people care about personalities. Sketch comedy on YouTube is awful. It's an uphill battle. It is not rewarded mm-hmm. with the work you put in. I did a video called the Touch My Body Challenge, which is actually a sketch, but it's a challenge video. It's stupid. It's you're blindfolded and you give a body part and they have to guess what body part it is.
Wait, this is stupid? This doesn't sound stupid.
It's really stupid.
Genius.
It took me about 5 minutes to do. It almost has 500,000 views and probably gets 20 or 30,000 views a day. I do sketches, an awesome cop sketch with a huge set of the YouTube space. Like there's we use a red camera and all this stuff. Maybe it gets 8,000-10,000 views.
Yeah, yeah see, get, this you, is like yeah. anything else, like stand-up or anything else. Like you craft this bit where you're really – I'm going to change minds about, you know, the earth. And then you have one fart joke, and, like, people cannot stop laughing at the fart joke.
Well, the thing – I mean, I think this is in life, right? In other words, that's like I look at my book here, and I think, like, this took me so long, and there was so much effort put into it. Now, is it ever going to pay off or make me any money? No. But because you can't – anything – any
art – But
that's
art, not the payoff.
But any art. That's what I'm saying.
Like, but you have a book. See, to me, it's like you're somebody with a book. So my perception of you – I don't know how many units you sold. You're somebody with a book, and that changes the perception. It's like, oh, you have your own T-shirts?
Oh.
You must be important to have your own T-shirts. I don't sell any T-shirts, but I'm a guy who has
right,
T-shirts.
For instance, you see that book? She only printed the cover. All the pages are blank.
No,
it doesn't matter.
I hear what you're saying. You yeah, are who yeah. you say you are. Howard right. Stern says, I'm the king of all media. Guess what? He's the king of all media. Yeah.
It's perception.
So it's perception. And so would you say to people, though, like, try not to get overwhelmed because you're never going to be able to do it all. You can't do it all. By the end of this conversation, by the end of my sentence, there's going to be 10 more things invented.
I think knowing things people use – I had to teach myself Twitter again. I taught myself Facebook. Tumblr, I've been amazing at. But it's how does it work? You know what I mean? I think knowing your audience, like if you have a slightly older audience, Facebook is very, very great. Maybe something like Snapchat and Instagram might not be as great for now. So it's knowing what your audience is and knowing what platform.
Have you ever started a social media platform and then abandoned it, said, you know what, this isn't working, I'm out?
I've gone and I've come back. I did it with Tumblr. I didn't care, and now it's been amazing for me.
Well, because these platforms change and they get better, and so it's more exciting.
You know, I think a lot of it is like you just need to know like how it works and how it functions and who is looking at it. I try to put myself in the place of the person looking and try to like see both sides of that. And I've been – Twitter is something I was like, oh, I'm done with Twitter. There was 1 month I had 5 million impressions on Twitter. I promoted myself almost maybe 2% of that time.
Wow.
Here's a new video. Nope, never did it. But did I get traffic from Twitter? I sure did.
Wow.
It's a totally separate conversation, but it's Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a social media guy, I read, but he does this like jab, jab, right hook thing. But I think it's basically like give, 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 take. Where
okay,
a lot of people
so
are like,
what he's saying is only advertise.
Yeah, you need to explain that to me
time.
Specifically.
He's saying only advertise, only push your own thing 20% of the time, and then
it's maybe something like that. I think it's like have value, give value to people.
Give,
instead
give, give, give,
don't
give.
Be a commercial.
Right.
Nobody. I don't turn on Hulu and be like, man, I can't wait to they get to that next commercial.
Right.
For
so
Old
you
Navy.
Have to provide, 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 provide,
yep.
And maybe every fifth or eighth or tenth time.
Sure, you've earned it, and people aren't mad at that.
Right.
You know, but if every single thing, why would I follow you on Twitter if every single thing is you? Is it some auto post of you promoting yourself, and you do the same exact thing on Facebook? There is no purpose for me to follow you on both things.
That's right.
Why?
And so, what do you? Because in other words, when I go between the different platforms. You know, Facebook is more for a general audience, and Twitter is more specific. There's, you know, there's more wordplay involved because you have to keep within the constraints. If it hits on Twitter, it'll kill on Facebook, it seems to me.
Yeah, for me, Facebook is good for like a lot of short little jokes.
Yeah, more
like
general.
Short jokes, or you know, if you're linking to something very interesting that appeal to your audience. If you're like a podcast, you know, podcaster, it's like here's five things that's happening in podcasting in 2016.
Yeah,
that's you know, that's offering value. But if it's you going, I have a new episode up, I have a new episode up, I have a new episode up. Who wants to hear that? That's
terrible
conversation.
Yeah, I try to put up a lot of storytelling, you know, references and stuff like
sure.
that. You know, I try. How do you get verified?
On?
Everything.
I'm working on Twitter. Very
good. Twitter,
difficult.
Yeah. It just seems like they'll only verify celebrities. And then
that's not, it's
not,
not
even that. Not
yeah,
even.
I've heard a lot of different things. I'm it's being worked on. But I am on Instagram and Facebook. I guess YouTube.
That's and how do you, how do you get verified? All of a sudden somebody just says, okay, you are who you are and. In other words, that little blue check mark is somehow – it's kind of important.
It's, again, the perception thing. Like you're somebody with a check mark.
But it is important because, like, for instance, I was looking at President Obama's his Twitter feed and I was looking at who President Obama follows. I think he follows 75 people or something. And, of course, every person he follows is verified.
Sure.
Because, of course –
yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it is important.
It's oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, Twitter and Facebook will kind of favor that kind of stuff in their algorithms and all that kind of stuff. I have meetings at Facebook. Like, I go to Facebook and have meetings.
Do you?
Yes, because I like to understand.
What do they say to you? That's so fascinating.
is a lot. I mean, some things I can't say, but some things I can say.
Well, what? So this is interesting. So you are in the loop, man.
I make it my job because I always want to be employable in some way.
Yeah. So where do you go? Where is Facebook? Where are those guys? Where are they?
I think their main office is in up north, NorCal, but they do have an LA office.
And so you met with somebody there. What was their role?
Their role is person.
Come on, Facebook content. What?
I think marketer. A lot of what we talked about is content, because Facebook is like, oh, YouTube, you do videos, we do videos. Same with everybody wants to do everything. You know what I mean?
Like, I know.
Like Twitter wants to have their own distribution. Everyone wants to have their own distribution.
It's like the Wild West.
Yes. Yeah, so I think Facebook, is a huge. They want to have everything. They want to have their own.
They want to be a news provider. Yeah.
Do you want some tips on what Facebook would probably like you to post as opposed to what you are posting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Native content, stuff that they own. Uploading videos directly. You posting your thing with a link on it, they're like, this isn't ours.
Yeah.
Why do we care about this?
That's the thing with Facebook. And that's why, like.
Wait a minute. You're saying, make a video, I put it on my Facebook page, they're happier.
They're happy if it's uploaded directly
to them. And so it might show up on more people's news feeds.
Mm-hmm. You have to upload it to Facebook. In other words, they're saying, we only care about what you're providing if it's going to be native to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
In other words, if you have like a mailing list with MailChimp, that's a really good thing because those are your people.
Yes.
And
you're owning your audience.
You own your audience. But as soon as you start putting all your content on Facebook, guess who owns it? Facebook owns it.
Right.
And if you're not letting them own it, and you're not providing it to them directly, then they're not going to give you.
Well, you see
pool.
The thing where you can pay, I have like 17,500 followers on my fan page. You have to pay for it to reach all those people. But if you upload stuff natively, it's going to be favored and reach more people.
But when you say uploaded natively, how do you upload natively from iPhoto to Facebook? What do you mean by that?
Or no, upload just, from your you desktop? Go on and it, when you upload. Just say if you upload a picture on Facebook,
right.
You just hit like upload photo.
Right.
What I'm saying not natively is taking like if you have like the podcast link from iTunes and then dropping it in and going, hey, here's a new episode. And then, the drop down thing comes. It's like story worthy on iTunes.
Right.
That's an iTunes link.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they don't like that as much as you posting stuff uploaded directly.
So my MP3 of the podcast should come from my desktop.
That would probably be the most. But then again, it's like how do you – like you want to promote your thing. It's –
But then there'd be another hole so people could listen to it directly on Facebook. But then that's a whole other – like how do you follow those numbers?
Yeah. I mean it's just – I think growing your Facebook is important. It's important to brands. It's important to perception.
It's so interesting. Yeah. And I do try because I'm always trying to figure it out. And I'm trying to figure out these algorithms and how this all shakes down. Because like I said, I do social media for other people. And I see some people – these guys are getting three – they're only reaching three people. And they have 10,000 people on their who like their page. Like it doesn't make sense. And then something else is completely blows up. So I'm always trying to shake it
make
out.
Make sure they didn't buy those likes too.
So what I do – I know. Mm-hmm. So what I do sometimes is I try to like disperse it, right? So I'll say, listen to story worthy and I'll put up a link to SoundCloud and then a couple days later I'll put up the link to Libsyn and then I'll put up the link to iTunes because in my opinion I'm sharing the love but I guess Facebook is looking at it like we don't own any of that and so
what do we care
supporting all
or of pay to have it promoted
yeah
plus it videos autoplay and stuff like that but they are hopefully going to start to monetize video but then again, you can link at the end of a video. Like you put up a video, like just say the show is a video and at the end it's like watch more, you can link it to your iTunes or whatever. Mm-hmm. I will do that. I will push from there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fascinating.
But I'm creating the person. Like all of this is to create, whether it's Snapchat or Periscope or all these things, I want to create an investment in me. So when the video comes out, people are watching it going, I'm already invested in this dude.
Yeah.
And not from him promoting himself, but like, I think his Tumblr's funny. I think his Facebook is funny. He has funny tweets. Oh, I watched him on Snapchat.
But it's just complicated because there is all this business stuff that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if your content doesn't hold up, you're screwed because it has to be good.
Think of reality. I mean, think of
okay,
the model.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be good.
Has to think it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the joke we're talking about. Mm. Like you did the video that you think is stupid. You think it's stupid. Other people, there's a million people out there who you would never want to have dinner with because they don't think what's funny is what you think is funny. But it's like, doesn't matter. They're out there.
Yeah, there's NASCAR fans.
It's a perception of like, but people are, think of like Kim Kardashian. What is she really good at?
I don't know.
She's good at self-promotion.
She's good at being her.
Now, the closest I've come to having that explained to me is I work with a lot of people who are way younger than me, and there are several women who just women, barely women, and they just love her because – why do you like her? Because she's hot.
She is?
Because she's smart. But is she hot?
I don't know.
I mean, empirically, if she didn't have great makeup people and great hair people, she wouldn't be that attractive. Now, so that to me is like a 20-year-old girl is like, okay, if I get the right people, I can be as hot as this girl who I know empirically is just not that much hotter than I am.
Hmm.
It's not like, you know, there are women there, Angelina Jolie just would be standing there with makeup and you'd be like, yeah, you're unbelievably hot. Kim Kardashian staying in this fluorescent lit room, no makeup.
Yeah,
you're not gonna be like, you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen.
Yeah, the lighting at Sideshow does have to change. I will say that, Maria. Seriously. I know. It's an office. I mean, we were like in a recording studio / office. But the perception, of course, to our listeners is that it's a recording studio.
I sound like a runway model. Right.
Let me ask you, okay, so just back up 1 second. There's so much going on, and of course, it's just limitless. I mean, I always say I could sit in front of my computer forever. I could never not get up from my computer. I don't know how to say it.
You could work
forever. I know, and I do it all the time. I get up at 4 in the morning.
It's like
and I'm
digging
again.
A hole.
You'll never stop.
You're never done digging a hole if you just keep digging.
To people who are just getting involved in social media, they're just stepping in the water. Give them like 3 tips. Just what?
Be consistent. Without spamming. You know, keep up on everything. It doesn't have to mean like even every day, but nothing is more unattractive than an inactive account because it's like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing going on.
Right. So don't even open an account unless you're going
to
use it.
Yeah. I mean, people I feel like they have to like open up a bunch of things and then they'll promote those things, but there's nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you get one shot. Especially people do YouTube. They have a channel. Like, here's my new channel. Subscribe. There's literally no content. And I don't know when I'm going to put content up. I was like, well, then you blew it with me.
Right.
You know,
why would I ever come back to
you? It's like a grand opening to the restaurant. Oh, we're going to be open in 3 months, but we're advertising it now.
Yeah.
Look inside the empty store. Like nobody, they're like, no, we don't take you seriously. So be like, only do what you could do. Like don't open 10 accounts on things and think like.
So just get a Facebook account. That would be nice.
I think like a Facebook, like a business page or fan page mm-hmm. would be nice because you can really set that up. And I think the experience of how that looks is very important.
Yes.
Same with YouTube. And I learned that actually kind of recently. Like when you get to the page, it's like, yeah, there's a bunch of cool videos, but like what's the experience?
And that's hard, man, especially once you're involved in it, to step back and be able to see that.
What's my Facebook page has everything I believe. Well, it's a lot of it's uniform, but it has an experience. Like you're not going to go there and be like, oh, cool, I'm going to see a bunch of hot chicks and I'm talking about like the latest makeup. Like
right.
you want to people to know what they're getting themselves into somewhat.
Yeah.
So those things.
No, you're just making me think of on a completely non-professional level. Sometimes there'll be some stupid comment or something on Facebook and I'll see the name and I'll be like, who is this person? Like I'm friends with them, but it's like I know I don't really know them. I need to know who they are. And I click on their name. So I go to their profile and there's no picture of them anywhere. Their profile isn't them. The banner isn't them.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'm going down and there's like a kitty cat. I'm like, I'm having to search to find out what the fuck you look like. So
yeah,
I have
make it
some
too hard.
Idea
make it too hard.
Who you are.
Yeah, who wants to
so,
do that?
Yeah, but I totally see what you're saying.
What that experience that you had is what I try to create every single day, is people going, who is this person? But it's not he wasn't like, hey, check out my cool thing. He probably made some comment that you're like, what's the deal with this person? And that's what I try to do is not me going, hey, look at me, check out my stuff. It's me making
right.
a statement.
But when they go to your page,
yes,
it's identifiable.
Absolutely.
I'm just talking about like you said something either offensive or to me or weird or something made me think, why do I know this person? And I went there and I have no idea who you are.
Hey,
so
Jason.
You are forcing people to go to your page by being clever. And then they get there and you have something immediately presentable.
And
here I am.
And they're more likely to be engaged and follow you because it wasn't you shilling yourself.
Right.
They found you on their own. They're like, I dig this person. I'm going to follow them without being like, follow me, look at me, like me, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Hey, would you do a reality show if somebody asked you?
I actually was going to do one. I worked with Ford for a while, and they had like a reality kind of competition show that I was up for, and then at the last minute, it just didn't work out. But,
yeah.
It depends on what it is. I've been hit. Yeah, I get hit a lot for reality shows. It really honestly depends. It's very time consuming.
Do you want to do the family thing, by the way?
Like, have a family?
Yeah.
Well, I am engaged.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, I was just in Canada. I met my fiance's father for the first time.
Oh, my gosh. How wonderful. Congratulations. Yeah.
I don't know.
What's her name?
Michelle.
How exciting.
Yeah. But I don't know.
What's her handle on Twitter?
I think it's she's
at Jason Horton.
She is very not anti, but she's a little anti the YouTube. She's a little sick of it because she's a grown woman.
Yeah.
And you know what right. I mean? And she doesn't she's
I'm glad to see you're with a grown woman.
Yeah. So
you guys are gonna get married, and then do you think you'll do the family thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. I never even thought I'd get married.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
I'm such a playboy.
Do you have a date? Do you have a wedding date? A ring and a date? No ring and a date. Yeah.
No.
Just a thought.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got the ring. I'm good.
Oh, did you give her the ring?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so there is a ring.
Oh, there's a ring. Sometimes I call it a roommate ring.
But have you talked about, like, is this a 6-month situation, 9 months?
Oh, this has been, we've been engaged for like a year and a half.
Well, Hannes is going on 9 years, I think. No.
It's only been 20 years.
Yeah.
Listen, man, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Yes.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true 1-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Virginity. Surprisingly, I was the first person of my friends, uncles we are, to lose their virginity. And I did a thing where I was just like, yeah, guys, I had sex. And then every time I had sex, like I told them, like, yeah, I had sex again. I did it like in a different position. It's like, oh, wow. And then something happened where like all my friends like started having sex, but with like a lot of different hotter girls. And then I feel like they just really kind of like passed me by. And I remember being like, yeah, guys, I had sex again. I was like, yeah, man, like. It's that still that same girl you're dating. Like we've like kind of gone way past that. I had sex with a black girl. And I remember my friend actually coming home. He was just like, oh my God, dude, I just had sex with a black girl. I got to go take a shower. Not that she was, I think because he was like kind of up all night and I was waiting for him to take a shower and I was all tired. I was like, I want to hear what it was like for you to have sex with a black girl. Like, what's that like? I eventually did have sex with a black girl and it was just like having sex with a white girl, but more black jokes. There's way more black jokes. Tons of black jokes.
Yay. Yeah. Wait, how old were you when you lost your virginity?
16.
16, that's fair.
How old were you when you had sex with a black girl?
35, maybe.
Okay, so you lost your white virginity at 35.
Yeah, I think I made out with some, hooked up with some black girls before that. But yeah.
Not last week. God, what did I say that for? A couple of months ago, my daughter says to me, Mama, how old were you when you first discovered sour cream? That was her sentence. I said, honey, that was in college. I can't talk
about it. Yeah.
So kids are funny. I think if you had children, I think you'd really enjoy it because it's another – because I know I can see your mind working and how many places you like to go.
Yeah, and
kids,
all of your
– everything is so innocent and comes out of them so fresh.
Well, I want to know how I can exploit them monetarily.
That's what I'm saying. So you would start thinking
– all of your social media is going to go right downhill when you start. You're going to be like – here's some adorable photo.
People are getting rich off of family vloggers.
That's what I was going to say.
Killing it.
Family blogging, family podcasting, everything around families is killing it. And you would kill it because what happens with children, they bring this perspective that you didn't think of because they're so innocent. They're so new. Everything is getting put into their heads. Everything's brand new and first time for everything. And so the way they look and their amazement, you would capitalize on
that. I'm ready to exploit.
Dude, just impregnate Michelle tonight. Do it.
Oh, yeah. That.
Put that on the list.
All right.
Tweet it.
I'll tweet it.
Tumblr it.
I'll put it on LinkedIn.
Snapchat it. is LinkedIn over? Can we just say that?
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
I do occasionally post on LinkedIn. A lot of people follow me on there, I think, because they have the impression that I'm successful. So in that sense, I think
– You are successful.
Yeah. I mean, well, they assume that I am because I do a lot. And I keep it somewhat updated. So they're like, wow,
but
this guy's somebody
to know. You are successful.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
But he's also successful at creating the impression that he's successful.
Yeah.
Which is the essence of show business.
Yeah. Let's get out and see
the
your
essence,
car.
Yes.
My 2005 Hyundai Elantra with the tape deck.
A tape deck.
I'm doing well.
Hey, listen, man. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you
for
having
me. This is a really interesting show and I've learned a lot. I've really been fascinated. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes,
and
you.
I hope you don't get roofied ever again.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network.
Wow, kind of came to a halt there. Just screech!
Including Sean Merrick and Roddy Swearingen, and of course the lovely Maria Spertolozzi.
Yay!
And of course I'd like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
He roofied me once and forced me to listen to that song.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Jason Horton, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
That made no fucking sense whatsoever. No fucking sense at all.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.